Good morning, church.
Good
morning. Sounds like a tough crowd. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be speaking about counterculture, which is the theme for Limitless. So the points of interest for today is, what is counterculture? Why is the challenge for young people to be countercultural? Why is it important for young people to be countercultural? What does the Bible say about being countercultural? And how young people can learn to be countercultural? So this is supposed to be interactive, so I'm going to start with the first question. What is counterculture? No hands? Arnaldo? Yeah, that's a good word. Hold on to that point. So, any more hands? Already. What do you think counterculture is? You have no idea. Well, I'm about to go through it. So, counterculture can be simply defined as living in a way that goes against the mainstream social cultural norms. For example, as followers of Christ, we ought to forgive, even though in this current day and age, it's normalized to seek revenge. As Christians of this era, we have been born into a world ridden with sin and a world where sin is glorified. Yet we are to resist the temptation to conform to sin disguised as social norms. Romans 12, 1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here the Bible clearly says that it's our duty as Christians to present our bodies holy, which is achieved by holding back from being one with the world and like being part of the sin of the world. In the same way, in like the Old Testament, animal sacrifices had to be pure, unblemished, and ceremonially clean, we as Christians should aim to be pure, unblemished, and ceremonially clean. Moving on to the next question, why is it a challenge for young people to be countercultural? I'm looking for young people. Don't mean we start picking on people. I know that I've heard from you. Jemima? Yeah, that's what I wrote down as well. So my first point is that as humans in general, we share the natural instinct to prioritize satisfying the desires of our flesh and not the spirit. In Romans 7, 18-20, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, but for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin who dwells in me. So Paul here is trying to say that if you just left him to himself, like if you leave us to ourselves, there's nothing stopping us from sinning, we're just going to sin. And then the other reasons include spiritual deprivation. Like some of us, we lack the spiritual strength to endure through the trials, the tribulations, and the temptations that we face on a daily basis. Hence why a lot of young people are easily overcome by sin. And also, we are surrounded by sin and peer pressure, like Jemima said. Our flesh is heavily influenced by the sin amongst us, which is common in our friends, our family, the people around us, and even like the things we're just around. So it's our natural instinct to conform to sin, which is psychologically proven as well, and try to blend in with the world. So I'm going to read a parable, the parable of the sower. If you'd like to open, it's Matthew 13, 3-9. So Jesus said, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came out and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then Jesus later explains this in Matthew 13:19-23. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, he immediately stumbles. Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So I'm going to apply the parable here. So first of all, a number of young people, we hear the word, but we don't understand it or take time to try and understand it, how to correctly be a follower of Christ, which includes them knowing that they need to be set apart from the world, set apart from the sin of the world as well. So as a result, they're less susceptible to being countercultural and more vulnerable to the wicked one. And then the next point I wrote is that another reason is that we may lack spiritual roots, some biology knowledge here, just as plants need roots to grow and absorb materials, minerals from the water and water from the soil. We as Christians, we need a connection to God to maximize the spiritual treasure that we receive from the word. And just like plants, the deeper and broader the root, the more we can absorb from the scripture. And with spiritual strength through God only can we withstand tribulation and persecution. In addition to this, we may be overly influenced and overcome by the cares of this world, such as material wealth, fame, and everything. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So young people, we tend to live by the world and fix our eyes on worldly things, not knowing that our love for the worldly things, it replaces any connection that we have with God and chokes his word out. On to the next question. Why is it important for young people to be countercultural? Look at the young people again. Nobody. Should I start picking people? Arnaldo, you don't want to answer? He's thinking. Anyone else? Joshua? You're young to me. You look young. So, as Christians, we are chosen, called up to follow Christ and follow his example. Moreover, we are to be set apart from the world and the sinful culture. And if we want Jesus to recognize us as one of his own, what better way to stand out than not blending in with the world and its sin? In John 15:19, it says, if you are of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And in 1 John 2:15-17, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Moving on to the next point, how young people can become and learn to be more countercultural. Jesus explained that he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Before we can become countercultural, we must understand this word, and we can ask God for the wisdom to apply it into our daily lives. Furthermore, we should also remove anything worldly that is causing us to sin. Matthew 5:29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Essentially meaning that whether it's our phones, our friends, the social media, music we listen to, or even the things that we watch, if it's causing us to sin and destroying our connection with God, we must cut it off. This way we can present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and fulfill our reasonable service. And then the final point for today that I'm going to ask you guys, are you a countercultural Christian? I'm back to victory.